The soft commodity rally has taken a breather with prices slipping on the back of a Russia-Ukraine grain deal. Now, what does this mean for importing countries and food prices going forward? Investment analyst and anchor at Anchor Capital, Casey Dalport, joins us to discuss this in detail. Now, Casey, this deal between Russia and Ukraine will ensure that no grain vessels are essentially attacked, really allowing grain trade to resume throughout the world. Could you say at this point that crisis has been averted?
At this point, I think it's still a very complex sort of dynamic or interplay between the price points. If we consider sort of the general environment of rapidly increasing food prices we've seen this year, the FAO, so the Food and Agricultural Organization branch of the United Nations, the Global Food Price Index actually decelerated by 2% from May. And this isn't, in turn, a welcome development. And we saw this, third consecutive decline was mainly driven by the softening in the prices of vegetable oils, grains, and sugar. But in the case of grains, the decline in prices from the higher levels we saw, following the invasion of Ukraine and Russia, is mainly on the back of improved wheat supplies following the harvest period in the Northern Hemisphere. And we also see in turn the vegetable oil prices, which coincided with Indonesia's decision to reverse its policy proposals to limit the export volumes of palm oil. And essentially, this policy reversal has also helped, bring assurance of supplies availability, which has, worried importing countries across the globe, South Africa included. I think that being said, though, the global grains and oilseeds market fundamentals remain roughly unchanged. Mm. The Russia-Ukraine war continues to block exports and production within Ukraine as well. And I think, moreover, the 2022-2023 season remains at risk of a continuous La Nina weather event, which could weigh on South America's harvest. So overall, whilst there remains plenty of uncertainty in the coming months, again, the FAO's Global Food Price Index presents a welcome picture of decelerating global prices from the peaks experienced in the days and weeks after Russia invaded Ukraine and disrupted sort of global production and trade. Nonetheless, this current downward trend cannot be taken as a given that global prices are normalizing. Whilst there is some level, of that in rice and soybeans, for instance, the wheat and maize story still remains fairly uncertain.
Now, Cassie, would you say that decelerating prices could result in oversupply? And could we have an oversupply issue at some point throughout the year?
I think if that does come to a point, it definitely would not be this year. We expect food prices to remain still at elevated levels. Yes, whilst they have come down in recent months, or the last 3 months or so, they are still significantly higher, compared to a year-on-year basis. So if we do see some form of a glut in the market, that will definitely be from, I think, a 2023 story onwards.
And are there any chances of us seeing pre-war prices again? I think that would definitely be welcomed by importing countries.
Yes, definitely. At some point, the market will normalize. That is the nature of commodity markets at the end of the day. But again, the timing is extremely uncertain. Whilst the Russia-Ukraine crisis continues, and I don't think there's any real clear timeline as to when that will sort of soften down, we can expect a lot of uncertainty and volatility sort of driving global prices.
Yeah. Now, Cassie, the African economy remains quite in a precarious position, I would say, as net importers of grain and other agricultural products. Is there an opportunity now for the African continent to kind of create its own markets locally? As you've said earlier, that really there's still so much uncertainty around the global market. Should this be an opportunity that we take to possibly be making our own food?
Yes, definitely. There's 100% an opportunity from here. I think if anything, the sort of global price crisis has highlighted the inefficiencies at play within the African continent at the moment. Africa has been particularly hard hit by inflation prices. Even before Russia, Ukraine, plenty of African economies were already hitting double-digit inflation levels, and this has simply served to exacerbate the crises. So in an ideal situation, definitely this opens up opportunities across the African continent. We do have the creation now of the African Free Trade Agreement across the continent. So this would be fantastic if we can keep trade locally within the continent. The difficult part of this is that often many farmers or exporters get far further better prices overseas than within the local markets. Therefore, the incentive is often not quite there to keep the, you know, the produce within the continent.
And Cassie, many commodity prices falling at the same time, wheat, copper, for example, all of these are usually signs of recession. Are you concerned about this?
Definitely. I mean, across the globe, we're starting to see a lot more heightened talk around recession. I think, for instance, if we take the United Kingdom, for instance, they are fairly much at that point. A lot of rumblings that the US will now be drifting in that direction, which, of course, in turn, never bodes particularly well for emerging markets, particularly within Africa and the likes of South Africa. At the moment, we are looking at more sort of depressed or lower levels of GDP numbers. We have seen, for instance, many sort of key headline numbers in South Africa start to come in a bit damp. And again, you know, South Africa has had a lot more sort of local factors at play. Let's not forget the severe bouts of load shedding, for instance, that we had, which we do expect to dampen economic activity and the Q2 GDP print. So once those numbers start to fill through, it's a bit too early to say at the moment, then we'll have a stronger idea of where the economy will be going ahead. For now, for 2022, we suspect the economic growth rate of GDP to come in at around 2%.
Yeah. All right. And that was investment analyst at Anchor, Cassie Dalport.